Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you join me for another week of diving into God's Word together, of hearing what God is saying to us, and then asking, what are we going to do about it? Of encountering the person of Jesus in the Word of God, and then letting Jesus lead us to deeper and deeper transformation in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to do here again today. That's what we're going to do this week, and hope that the Lord will continue to do in us and with us. And I'm just so happy to be here with you again. And this week as we go, I want to take up again the words of Jesus. I want to nestle into a chunk of scripture in the Gospel of Matthew and take in the commands of Jesus. A couple times we've done this on this podcast, going back to what did Jesus say? We know when he came on the scene, he said, repent and believe in the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But as we see Jesus encountering people through the gospels, we can know how he really talked, how he really walked, what he really looked like, what discipleship to him really looks like. And I think in this hour, in our modern day, as we're walking, there's a Christianity that's acceptable and a Christianity that's not acceptable. And the Christianity that's acceptable, I think, is one that's very, very widely practiced. And there's one that says, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, but I'm going to define what that means for myself. Because the human heart desires to have a God. We desire to be in some religion. We desire to give ourselves away to something. And so we want to give ourselves away to something, but then we're still attached to the comforts of the world and not being rejected by the world. So we say, this is what discipleship looks like for me. This is what discipleship looks like. And we begin to define our own discipleship. And I think the quote unquote discipleship that many people are living right now in the 21st century is radically different than not only what Jesus Christ had in mind, but what he expressed to his disciples and what he asked them to live. And so we're going to take up a chunk of scripture where Jesus says, this is what it means to follow me. And we want to look at that and look at our own lives and say, am I doing what Jesus asked? Not in a way to condemn myself, not in a way to be like, oh, I'm the worst, I'm not doing this, but in a way to say, if I want to do this, if I'm going to follow Jesus, the only way that's worth doing it is to do what he commanded. Amen. So let's begin with our psalm. I think we ended off in the early Psalm 40s. Remember, we're praying the psalms this summer together at the beginning of our episodes to give our hearts something to cry out, to give our hearts something to pray. And so we're going to go ahead and pray. We're going to begin in book two. So there's a handful of different books that the Psalms are broken up by. We're beginning in book two, Psalm 42. So if you'll join me as we pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And I'm going to skip forward a little bit. By the day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Lord Jesus, no matter what we're facing today, we put our hope in you. We put our trust in you. And we just ask that this would be our refrain, that we put our hope in you and yet we will praise you. Because as the deer pants for the water, we long for you. Place, as we come into your word today, as we desire to follow you more deeply, place a desire for you in our hearts, place a longing for you in our hearts, that we may pant for you, that we may long for you. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as I said, we're going to spend a little bit of time in an amazing, amazing passage talking about what does Jesus actually say to us about what it means to follow him. So if you want to join me in God's word, we're going to be in Matthew 16, starting in verse 24. And this passage, this section of scripture is on the heels of Jesus asking his disciples, who do you say that I am? And it's a really interesting passage. We start Matthew 16. All these miracles have happened and the disciples go with Jesus somewhere and then they sit down and they're like, oh, we didn't bring any bread. And he's like, have you not learned anything from what I've been teaching you? I am the bread of life. I will satisfy you. He says, did you not already forget the loaves and the fishes? And this leads to a conversation with the Pharisees, which leads Jesus to ask Peter, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And this is the passage that comes on the heels of that conversation. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay every man for what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is a powerful, powerful passage. We're going to spend the week here unpacking what Jesus is saying, unpacking what he's calling us to. And friends, this is an intense word from the Lord. This is a word of love for Jesus. As we said, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, comes on the scene. He's born of the Virgin Mary. He spends 30 years in obscurity, and then he begins his public ministry, the time when he will be close to drawing all men to himself. And he goes out and he says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And as people encounter him, he's saying, the kingdom of heaven is here. And the response is now to follow me. He invites people into a relationship with him, but one that requires a giving up of everything. And this is what we were saying at the beginning of the episode, that Jesus lays out very specifically, this is what following him is. This is what discipleship to him is. It's not putting a nice quote in your Instagram bio. It's not posting on Facebook. It's not a boost in your positivity. It's not just a label that you slap on. It's not a way to just be nice to each other and have a positive attitude. Jesus is laying out something that's not a self-improvement plan. It's something he's saying, this exactly is what it looks like for a man to follow me. This is what it looks like for a man to follow me. And there's a couple different aspects that I want to touch on throughout this week that we're going to set up today. If any man would come after me, that first call, he's calling men to himself. He's speaking to the deepest desire of our hearts, is saying, you actually, I've come to you in the flesh, but now your desire is to come after me. What you need to do is pick yourself up, get up, as Paul says, strengthen your weak knees and follow after me. Make a movement towards me. Stir up your heart. Come after me. And there's a way that the disciples would have understood a bit of this language. The time that Jesus was living in, it was a very, very common practice that either a man would go into a trade like fishing. Usually a poor man would go into a trade like fishing if they were uneducated. So like Peter and some of the disciples, they went into fishing. And then the others would, from the time they were very young, apprentice under a rabbi. And the concept was that a young man would go apprentice under a rabbi and he would go where the rabbi went. He would eat what the rabbi ate. He would sleep where the rabbi slept. He would follow the lifestyle of the rabbi and his teachings very, very closely. And there was a way that the the people of the Middle East would say, you want to be so close to your rabbi that the dust of his from his sandals is coming upon you. May the dust of the sandals of your rabbi be upon you. And so Peter and many of these disciples that are called, they're not educated. They're doing a different trade. They haven't learned under the way of a rabbi, but they know this language. And so Jesus is saying, if anyone comes after me, he's saying, follow in my footsteps. Does anybody want to come after me? And the dust from my sandals can be upon them. And so he's calling them out of this way of life that they knew to actually make a change, to actually take a step forward, to actually come and follow him. So he says, first, come after me. The other elements, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And we're going to talk about those in more detail over the next week here, but we see Jesus building on something. He's saying, this, friends, is the way of discipleship. I have brought the kingdom of God to earth. I've brought the heavenly kingdom down. Heaven has now invaded earth. The kingdom of heaven is here. And what do you do in response? Overthrow the government? Go after the highest leader? No, Jesus is saying, I am about a revolution in the hearts of each and every one of my believers that begins with self-denial, that continues on with a taking up my cross, and that ends with following me wherever I will go. And again, I don't want to get into too much detail on those three things because I want to go into detail over the next week. But friends, just this one sentence, I want you to take this one sentence into your prayer time. I want you to take it every single day and says, this is supposed to be the model of my life as a disciple. Look at the world. Does this sound like a mantra of success in the world? Does this sound like a way that a powerful ruler, that a guy who, you know, look at the modern world, a guy who has a million followers, who has a podcast, like would Joe Rogan say this to his followers? Would someone with great influence say, this is what you got to do to follow me, come after me? No, the messages that we're hearing is success, success, success. How do you get money? How do you get power? How do you get influence? How do you become the best possible leader you can be? How do you be the next successful guy? How do you be the next leader of a Fortune 500 company? And Jesus is saying, do you want to look like me? Do you want the dust of my sandals to be upon you? Do you want to follow me where I'm going? And ultimately, where is he going? To prepare a place for you and for me in heaven. Do you want to follow me where I'm going, home to my Father? If you do, anybody can do it. But the path is exclusive because there is a specific way in which Jesus is calling us to practice our discipleship. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And at the beginning of this week that we're going to spend together diving into this passage, I want to ask you the question, and I want you to bring this question to the Lord before we even dig in detail. Are you willing and are you ready to lose your life? Are you willing? And are you ready to lose your life? Because friends, the invitation of Jesus that we're going to come into is an exchange far greater than we can imagine. The reward we will receive when we lose our life is far greater than we will imagine. But we have to be willing to lay down our lives as Jesus did. And as we enter into this week, I believe he wants to stir in our hearts a deeper desire for him that allows us to lose our life. Amen. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.